9, verse 1 to verse 10, or as a follow. Amen. The Bible said, then the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took the lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took the lamp and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamp are going out. But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Can somebody say amen? You know, sometimes when you read the word of the Lord, you have this tendency that there is more to learn, there is more to know, there is more to unveil into this word. Amen. The church today, it is a product of mistake, because sometimes we read the word as a devotional so that you can tell people, I read my Bible every day. And then now you're going to go and read this page and reach one chapter. You say, I managed to read my one chapter, it is enough. But the question is, do you understand what you are reading? The question is, after you have read this book, what is the lesson that you receive from reading the book? And many of us, we miss to answer this question because we are not looking for answer. We are not looking for growth. We are just looking to fulfill a daily routine. I would call it a daily routine. We are not looking for something that's going to change our destiny. We just want today to say, okay, you know, if they ask a question, are you reading a Bible? My hand will surely be up. Why? Because I'm reading my Bible. Are we together? But do you have the understanding of what you are reading? Many people come to church and say, I've been reading the Bible, but I don't understand the Bible. And the reason why you don't understand what you are reading, because you don't let the Bible read you. This is very important. You want to read the Bible, but you don't open yourself to be read by the Bible. And when you don't open yourself to be read by the Bible, you are limited. Hallelujah. Because your mind is the routine. Your mind is maybe somebody else. Your mind is never, teach me, O Lord. I want that light to shine in the depth of my soul, in the darkest part of my soul, so that I may see what is missing, what I have to work on to change my destiny. I want that light to shine in the darkness of where I am so that I can see the imperfection in my life and walk in it. The moment you start seeing the word of God in this angle, you have made a huge step into growth. Are we together? Are we together? That is why, beloved brothers and sisters, the book that we have in front of us, although many prints have been made, many things have been made, we still short of this knowledge because of how we approach the Bible. Amen? You know, the mystery is that there is a say in the book of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 to verse 13. They say, The vision was like this one. They took the book. They took this book that was sealed. It wasn't sealed because they put a padlock onto it. It was sealed because it was a mystery. And I have said here that the power in the hand of a fool is dangerous. It means that if this book was unsealed to reveal the depth of this book, people that are angered into power, they will get all the knowledge here and they will be acting as deviant with the sole purpose of destroying humanity. If you can see what human being is doing today without having the knowledge of what God is capable, you can understand that if this book was available to everybody, they would destroy humanity. Amen? You know, I'm going to share something with you. Maybe that is why it's good sometimes to go after knowledge. Hallelujah. God did not give. Pay attention to what I'm saying here. God did not pick Moses by mistake. Moses in the wilderness, taking care of the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, was doing it as of humility. He was a very intelligent person. God did not pick him by mistake. He was very knowledgeable. Do you know that the same Moses who wrote the Torah? How many people know what the Torah is? The Torah is the five first book of the Old Testament. And those five first books are what? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Are we together? So now, the same Moses who wrote the Torah, when he was in the palace of the Pharaoh, he is the one who wrote everything about geometry and everything that the cult are using today, the Freemason and all those things, to showcase themselves. You guys know that? So he wasn't somebody who was short in knowledge. God picked him based on the ability that he have to perform this writing. God pulled him because he could change the perspective. He knew he was an Hebrew man who grew into the wrong hand, but just changing who he is into the writing and deposited in him the spirit of excellency that came from the Lord. He can excel into doing the thing that we cannot imagine. So this vision was given to a person that was first of all knowledgeable. And so you will have the drive to learn and to seek. Because what he wrote, what he did in the past, was somebody who had a desire. You don't wake up and start writing things without searching. Are we together? For you to have the degree of excellency, you must perfect it. Are we together? So, there are things that God will not take by mistake. And again, the Bible is not something that is given to people because of how much you know or how much you don't know. That is why it wasn't about knowledge. It was about the spirit. Amen? It's not about how much you have learned in school. It's about the spirit. Amen? You can see a pastor who have never been to school. He preached the word with knowledge. He preached the word with power. And that word, it is packed with the demonstration of the power of God. When Paul is coming, he said, when I came to you, brethren, it was not in the demonstration of speech, but the spirit power. Are we together? That is why the spirit of the Lord is the element that makes a difference in the word of God. Many people can use it. Many people can say in the name of Jesus. But if the spirit is not in you, you are just like the seven sons of Sceva. Are we together? That is why you can have somebody say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, nothing happened. He prophesies. All what he says is lie. The thing that he has said, nothing comes true. Why? Because the carnal mind that he is prophesizing, not the spiritual mind. Not the person who have been built by the Spirit of God into the knowledge of who God is. Are we together? He said this book that was sealed by the mystery, was taken to somebody who was literate. Please, I beg thee, read. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 13. Read, and this person say, I cannot because it is sealed. Not with the padlock, but sealed because of The mystery that that book represents. Amen? And he said, that same book was taken to somebody who was illiterate. I'd never been to school. And said, I begged thee to read. He said, first of all, to start, I'm not literate. I cannot read. Just to come to the fact that it wasn't about, let me just say this word. The book presents a certain character whereby somebody who have been in school and somebody who have not been in school both become helpless if they do not have the knowledge of who God is. If you do not have the Spirit of God, they cannot read it. Amen? That's why the Bible says the book was bringing to heaven and they said, who can open the seal? Nobody was worthy. Hallelujah. Without a spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we are just like a cymbal making noise. When he comes to the word of God, the Holy Spirit, it is the key to unveil this word to us. Are we together? The Holy Spirit, it is the key to unveil the word of God. And he has been known throughout the Bible because in the book of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ, it is teaching his disciples. He just finished a sermon about the seed, the sow and everything, about planting and everything. And then the disciples say, why is it that in your figure of speech you use parable? He said, because he has been given only to the children to know exactly what I'm talking about. They do not know. I speak to parable because to them I cannot, they don't have the understanding. Of course they hear what I'm saying, but they don't understand what I'm saying. They can see without properly seeing. They have the ability to capture what I have without having the perception of what I'm talking about. Amen. But to you, it has been given for you to receive the explanation of this parable. Amen? So it means that now that I am with the group of people who have the ability or who have been set apart to receive the wisdom that I was displaying, let me unveil that wisdom and give you exactly what it means. And he goes into explaining what the parable was about. Amen? So now he gave an example to us. But now, what about the rest of the Bible? We have to come to a point where this word is unveiled so that we can have the right perception or the better perception of what it is about. Are we together? So that we can have the right and the better perception on what this word is talking about. Amen? That is why the Bible still and remain a living word. Today you read something that's speaking to your mind. Tomorrow you read the same thing and give you a different testimony. It makes it a living word. The mystery is within. Amen? So now, Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to do some reading over there, is giving us a certain description on what we can have when he comes to the word of God. Are we together? In verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom. Amen? Among those who are mature. It means that these words are for maturity. But it's not maturity per age. It is spiritual maturity. Amen? Yet, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the ruler of this age. Because there are two separate types of wisdom. There's a divine wisdom that comes from God, and there's a wisdom that comes from the people of this age. Amen? Where somebody can acquire wisdom. Let's say the wisdom you acquire with age belongs to this age. Amen? But a young person can acquire a wisdom that the old person does not have, because that wisdom is a revelation by the Spirit of God. Amen? And he said that, who are coming to nothing? It means that our wisdom here comes to nothing. Cannot open any door, cannot close any door, cannot do anything. It's just wisdom, plain wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from God through the knowledge of his word have the capacity, the power to open door and to close them. Are we talking together? And he said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Hallelujah. He said, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This is what he's saying. I am going to release into you something that was hidden. But I'm going to unveil that thing so that your capacity, your ability through the Spirit of God to have the perception or the good knowledge of what I'm releasing to you, display in your life a result that is called glory. Amen? So that whenever you have it, no matter what you do, what follows you, because of the knowledge of this mystery, it is glory. And when we talk about glory from God, it's not any type of glory. It's a glory when people come, they wonder, they say, we know who you used to be. The only thing that have brought this thing into you is something supernatural. Are we together? The type of glory that you used to be a drunkard. And in the split of the second, you hate alcohol. And your friend like, what? What happened? Are we together? The kind of thing that you used to be in the stage of poverty, extreme poverty, you were a laughter to everybody. And out of sudden, they look at you, they say, maybe it's witchcraft, but the glory of God. Are we together? This kind of glory open door at your voice. Elijah walks into a city. He said, at my word, there shall be no rain for 3.5 years. And he walked away. No rain. Nobody could intercede and say, God, I'm canceling what Elijah has spoken. Nobody. For 3.5 years, there were prophets. Nobody had a power to walk in and say, by the power, I cancel this thing. Nobody for 3.5 years. And God said, Elijah, feel sorry for them. Go back. And he said, he prayed earnestly. And rain came back into the city after 3.5 years. This is the kind of mystery that the knowledge opened the gate of heaven and closed the gate of heaven into man's appearance in the name of Jesus. That's why it is a hidden mystery. Imagine that everybody has this power. And then one day, Brother Bible is messing around with me. Or do I have the power? And I said, let it be that in this church where Brother Bible is sitting, a heavy snow can come there and froze him. It's going to happen. Right? It's going to happen. It's not going to happen to you in Jesus' name. Amen? It's going to happen because I have acquired of that mystery that gives me the power to do such a thing. It means that the power has been given to people with a heavy evil spirit. That is why he has been reserved to those who love God. They don't just do it because they have to do it. They do it because it is in the purpose of God. And if in anything the will of God is not displayed, then you have not acquired the mystery that brings glory from heaven into your life. Are we together? And he said, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And this is true. Because this is the kind of thing that if they knew that in 2,000 years from today, people will be preaching the gospel and people will be saved, and then the death of Christ will bring forth glory into the life of the saint, they will not have crucified Christ. Amen? If they knew that redemption of this world would come through Christ, they would be like, Christ, go peacefully where you came from. We don't want to deal with you. But because this mystery was hidden from them, they thought that they were doing God a favor by putting Christ at the cross. But it was too late when he closed his eye and gave the host. He went down to hell and they brought back the keys so that we can have rulership over this kingdom. Are we together? That is why it is a mystery. The reason why I'm telling you guys these things is because we have to understand what we'll be talking about in the parable. Amen? When we read the parable, we see things like that, but we don't understand the depth of the parable. And that's why it is called a parable. Every time you see a parable in the Bible, try to understand what is hidden in that parable. Don't just read it and say, I read the parable. Do you know about the parable of the sower, of the seed? Oh, yes, I read it in the Bible. I know what it is. It tells us about this thing. But you don't understand the depth or the mystery hidden in that parable. There is a lot of things to do in it. Are we together? Any question? Amen? Now, we have to understand that when he comes to the word of God, the word of God by himself, it is nothing. But when that word, it is patched, added to the Spirit of God, he becomes power. Hallelujah. God have not done anything without the Spirit. The second person in the Bible, when he comes to the Trinity, the deity of God, was the Holy Spirit. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Amen. The Bible tells me that it was the Spirit that set the platform upon which God said, let there be light, and light was. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, being the Word himself, was not at a level of power without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If I can say it like that. The Bible says God himself anointed him with the Holy Spirit. God have to anoint Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. This gentleman comes at the Jordan River for baptism. He met over there a man by the name of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is doing his daily routine. He's baptizing people into the repentance of sin, the baptism of water. And he sees the child of God coming there. And knowing who Jesus Christ was, because they are cousins by the end of the day, he pointed the finger and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he's tried to have an argument, a discussion about who's going to baptize him. And Jesus Christ told him, don't worry, let it be done. Because it's the fulfillment of the scripture. And that is why Jesus Christ will be baptized. Jesus Christ, up to this moment, was just the son of Joseph the carpenter. Nothing has been done into his life. Remember that at the age of 12, he's in the temple during the bar mitzvah, I believe. And then after that, 18 years, nothing is spoken about him. But after he comes to the water baptism and he's baptized, the first thing, because this is a symbol that we must understand, the first thing that came upon him was not a word. The first thing was the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove came and rested upon him. At that moment, the voice was heard in heaven. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. It is there, from there, that Jesus Christ started ministry. Before he even started ministry, he was carried, not by himself, but by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen? And after he had finished fasted, being very well in the depth of the Spirit, the devil appeared because something was not right with this guy. He have heard something. He's been looking for this person for a very long time. Who is the Messiah? Who is this person? Who is this? What does he represent? He was looking, but the thing was crowded onto him. He heard, this is my beloved son. Because the devil is always in the scene, trying to see who is next in line for a blessing that he can attack and destroy his life. Remember, I told you that the devil attacked you because you are next on life for blessing, right? So he's always there trying to find out what the information that he needs to go ahead and set a legion against you to destroy your life. But when you know that what God has said shall come to pass, your duty is to remain under the wings of the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? Good. Now, the Holy Spirit unveiled the scripture unto us and give us the clarity of that scripture. The Holy Spirit give us power so that in the usage of the scripture we can deliver a result. A Christian without the Holy Spirit, it is an empty Christian, it's a tambourine. Are we together? There's no remedy for that. Or you're going to go to the witch doctor and bury a corpse under your pulpit besides start preaching over there. But God forbid there is a weight or having it. You don't have because you don't ask, the Bible says. And when you ask, ask with the right motive, and you receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we together? Amen. So this knowledge into us changes a lot of things in our life. Amen. This knowledge of the Holy Spirit changes a lot of things in our life. God have never sent his word without the Holy Spirit. Even to Isaiah, he say, and the Lord God and his Holy Spirit sent me. The Lord God with his Holy Spirit sent me. For that word to be effective, God must send that word with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ about to go, he said, with the time that I have to execute what my Father has sent me, I cannot release unto you all what I know. But it is good for me that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send you another person. That person going to have the capability of being in multiple bodies at one time. And that capability that the person have is can search all things. He can search all things, all truth, and bring it to knowledge. That person have the ability to take from the Father and give to you, to take what belongs to me and give to you, because what belongs to the Father also belongs to me. And because it belongs to me, and for the simple reason that you yourself have believed in me and belong to me, that thing will be available unto you. Are we together? That is why I say, it is good for me to go so you can receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit come in patience and obedience. We're going to learn it through the scripture. Amen? After the ascension, he told the disciples, I'm about to go into heaven. I'll be lifted up into heaven. And so if the Son of Man is lifted up, he will drive men close to him. Is that true? That's why we are here today. Amen? But I don't want you to rush into going in town and start preaching the gospel. And start saying that Jesus Christ went into heaven. Because if you go without that power, they will kill you easily. You have no effect in this world. But I want you to sit patiently and wait for the thing that I have promised you. And 10 days after they have waited patiently in the upper room, the Bible says when the day of the Pentecost will fully come, they hear a sound from heaven. And then things like tongues, the tongues of fire came and rested upon them. And they went out speaking in new tongues. It was such a power that people could hear them from the distance. More than 3,000 people came into that place. And Peter, the Bible said, being full by the Holy Spirit, took the word upon himself and said, this Jesus. And started preaching the gospel. And everybody who heard, 3,000 of them say, what should we do to receive, to be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gave their life to Christ. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. Please just bear with me. So now, when we have all these things, we can just carefully go into the word of the Lord. And we are in the book of Matthew chapter 5, where the Bible says, then the kingdom of God is likened to 10 virgins who took the lamp and went to meet the bridegroom. The first element, 10 virgins. So now, when they talk about virgin, they are 10 virgins because it's not a matter of sin. We are not talking about sin here. They have been made virgin because they were righteous before the Lord. Amen? So it is not a matter of sin. Sin is not the problem here. Let us just put sin apart. Amen? So now, those 10 virgins, they are qualified to go and meet the bridegroom. They are all qualified. Hallelujah. According to the word, because the Bible said they have with them, all of them have the lamp. Are we together? They were all carrying a lamp. It means they were all carrying the word. Psalm 119 verse 105 say, your word, it is a lamp. So now they all have a lamp. So it means that they have received the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. If you have the word without the Holy Spirit, remember, you are safe. But time can justify if you are really safe. And we're going to get through it. Amen. So, there is no discrimination at this stage. They are all at the same level according to the word. They all receive the ministry of the word. Same level. Because all of them, each of them carried a lamp that was shining at that moment. Amen? And all of them were qualified to go and meet the bridegroom. All of them, no exception. Are we together? And they just went into the waiting room. And that waiting room today, it is the world where we are living in. We are all in the waiting room according to the ministry of the word. Amen? You know, I used to back in those days, I used to go, I had somebody who was taking care of my hair. He was cutting my hair, and I would go in there. This guy had the Bible with him every day. He would read the Bible, and I was talking to the guy. I see you the Bible every day, but you walk every Sunday. Why don't you go to church? He said, I'm just reading you for fun. I am tired of church. I am tired of this thing. I don't believe that the power of the Holy Spirit still exists and walk into it. That was his language. Why? Because of life deception. Because of focusing on man-made things instead of focusing on the Holy Spirit to drive him to the next level. Amen? If you rely on man, we're going to study it here, you're going to discover that very soon you'll be frustrated. And heavy frustration will come onto you. Amen? I have told you guys so many times, I'm a pastor. I have deceived you guys so many times. How many times do you have an appointment with me? I didn't show up. Let me just start by that. I'm honest, right? Am I honest? How many times do you have an appointment with me? I didn't show up. So if you were putting all your strength in me, I have deceived you right there. I don't show up because I don't want to show up. I don't show up because I myself am limited. I don't have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to dispatch myself and to be at every single appointment at the same time. Through of us. I can only be at one time, at one place at all time. Amen? So if you hear that Pastor George was in the office here, in the office somewhere, you'll be like, I'm not going to that church anymore. Unless somebody in that other place come and say I was lying. Because these men have some type of power that I've never seen. Amen? So he has become a God. Where he's everywhere at every time. Amen? You guys will be like, let us put on Facebook who that man really is. It's omnipresent, right? So this is the reality. Hallelujah. So now when we come to the study of the word, we have this understanding that the Bible is telling us that these 10 people, they were all qualified. Amen? So when they came to the waiting room, and I said this waiting room is this where we are living. Amen? We are all in that waiting room. According to the ministry of the word, they were all qualified to be in the waiting room. According to the ministry of this world, we are all here. Amen? But now, the next verse says what? The next verse says, now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Okay? At this point, if you don't continue your reading and if you don't have the revelation, you will ask yourself, why is it that the Bible is taking the time to display the fact that five, or to display, or to split this group of 10 virgins into two? 10 virgins, all with lamb. What is the criteria of taking those 10 virgins, spin them in two, and say five foolish and five wise? What's the criteria? But now you continue reading and you discover something. You say, those who were foolish took the lamp and took the oil and no oil with them. Amen? So, okay, the foolish, they took the lamp. They have no oil. Okay, if the lamp is shining, why the oil? So, what makes them foolish if the light is shining? The lamp have light. Why is it that they are foolish? And the verse 4 says, the wise, they took oil in the vessel. Amen? They took oil in the vessel with lamb. Okay, if the oil is in the vessel, I can consider these people foolish, because if the lamp is shining, we are going to the same destination. They are adding more luggage into themselves. Then they are supposed to be the foolish one. Not the one who just used the lamp to find the way to the waiting room where they're supposed to wait for the bridegroom. Correct or false? It's true, right? So now, up to now, the understanding of foolishness is not there. It is not there. And God will unveil to us, will reveal to us, why is it that what he's saying, it is true. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, but why the bridegroom delayed, they slumber and they slept. Till now, nothing is there. But there is a factor that comes into it. The bridegroom didn't come on time. So when they were going, they thought in their mind that maybe as they arrive there, the bridegroom will come and pick them up. If that was the case, every time you are saved, you are gone. You guys didn't get it. If that was the case, every time you are saved, you are gone. Amen? But the test of your character remains on this earth. Is that word that you have received still available along the road? I'll say it again. The word that you have received that brought you into salvation, 10 years from now, is that word still working to your life? That's the importance of these things. The bridegroom delayed, and they were all tired. We have been going to church for so long, but now I am tired of church. First of all, I don't even like that pastor. Second of all, this sister in the church, she always gives me trouble. See, if the church is supposed to be a church of God, why is it that we always have problems? What we forget is that the church is a clinic, and everybody in that church is sick. Are we together? That church, it is a clinic, and everybody is sick, and everybody have a different type of sickness, and some of the sickness can be contagious, and that sickness can become a leprosy, whereby you yourself exclude yourself from the church. I have to tell you guys those things. It's simple. Are we together? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, oh Lord. So, the delay of the bridegroom, it is the delay that we have sitting here. They've been telling us that nobody knows the time and when he's coming. Christ is coming. Something is sure. He is coming. He's the bridegroom. Amen? The 10 virgins represent the church of God. We are this virgin because we have received the ministry of the word. We have received it. Amen? You know, people say, you hear that a lot in this church. I know I master the Bible. you guys know that, right? People say, oh, that I know my Bible very well. People say that. I know my Bible very well. But when they finish knowing the Bible very well, the next act that they are doing, they are fighting with somebody for alcohol. You know at that point that this guy doesn't know his Bible. Amen? I know my Bible very well. Your next move, you are committing adultery or fornication. Meanwhile, you know very well your Bible. Knowing means that it is in you. And your reflection reflects what you know. And when you act very well, it means that you are living a life that portrays that knowledge. Amen? Hallelujah. And grant you the wisdom that will lead you into glory. And if you know your Bible very well, like many people see, and many people speaks about, and there is no testimony of that in your life, you are a noisemaker. You are a symbol. Ready to make a noise for nothing. Hallelujah. You know, I went somewhere and somebody said something that was, wow, I was like, wow. He said, the Lord showed me when I was in this place, something that he had revealed to few people in the entire universe. And I was like, wow, Elijah, you are so good. You are very unique. All what is remaining of you is to be translated. But you're still here. And the sickness is killing your body. And the Lord has revealed you the mystery that only few people on this world knows about it. That is what I call the spirit of pride. The Bible says if you consider that you know something, at that point you know nothing. The Bible says that. But they know the Bible, they forget that part in the Bible. You know your Bible, you forget the part what God is saying. If you consider yourself to know anything at that very moment, you know nothing. Yet they know the entire Bible, but that part they forgot. Are we together? That's why some of us, we have to be quiet in some places. Amen? So the bridegroom delay, and they all slumber and sleep. They all were tired. At a point in your life, the word cannot keep you standing. The word alone cannot keep you standing. What keeps you standing? It is the word and the Holy Spirit. If you have only the word, you will get tired, you will sleep. The thing that's going to wake you up, it's not the word, it's the Holy Spirit. Are we together? If there is only the word in you, you are powerless. Amen? The example here is that if you have only the word, the moment you get tired, you will find yourself in darkness. You will try to trim your lamp, but there will be no oil. Are we together? The Bible tells me in verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. He's not there yet, but he is coming. Go out and meet him. Now you have to find yourself out to meet the bridegroom. Just to discover that the first element that you need that qualifies you to meet the bridegroom, it is the word. But the thing that sustains you to meet the bridegroom, it is the Holy Spirit, the oil. But now, for you to meet him, your lamp must be shining. But when, because remember, the thing that qualified them at the beginning was the lamp. But that lamp was shining. So when they get to the place, the lamp was still shining. But at a certain level, the lamp had to go down because the oil was finished. Amen? If, look, okay, now, listen. How many people know what the wick is in the lamp? How many people have been in Africa where they use the lamp with the petrol on inside? How many people have been there? Some of you guys have never been there because you guys don't know this thing. We know what we are talking about. Amen? Where you have to, there was just little bottom there around there. We had to trim it and put the wick. The wick is what they call in French la mèche. And then we had to make sure the petrol, when the petrol is not there, the thing dies. True or false? But now, if I remove that wick alone and I throw in the fire, the wick will burn in a minute. True or false? But whenever, it does not matter what it is, when that wick, it is in that lamp with petrol, the wick
can burn the entire night, produce the light unto the morning, the wheat will not be destroyed. The reason why it is like that, because the wheat is standing and the oil is feeding it. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Amen? The word, it is the word into your life only when the Spirit is joined to it. Without the Spirit, it is an empty word. That is why people read it. They have no understanding, because the reading, it is eyes, it's not spiritual eyes. The reading, it is the mind, it's not the heart, which is the Holy Spirit. The reading is limited to man understanding, not to the wisdom of God. That's why we don't have it. Are we together? Good. Now, the Bible said this was the moment of truth. Amen? If they were wise, when they left the house, all of them were wise. They had the word and the shining lamp. The shining lamp was there. They were holding the lamp. They were holding Jesus Christ. They were walking with Jesus Christ. But a time came during their walk, their marching with Jesus, that they were tired. Amen? And when they were tired, they decided to sleep. But some of them, as they were sleeping, they were sleeping in the arm of Jesus Christ. Some of them let go of the arm of Jesus Christ and they started sleeping alone. Am I talking to somebody? Some of them say, remember, I love this story. I said that I was walking with Jesus in the beach and then behind me there were four prints. At a certain time, I came to a point where I was tired and I saw only two prints and I asked Jesus Christ, "Where are you?" Because all I can see is two footprints. Amen? And Jesus Christ said, the only footprint that you are seeing, they are mine because I'm carrying you in my arm. Are we together? So they came to a point, the wise person, in their slumber, they were in the arm of the Lord. Why? Because the oil was active. And the reason why the oil was active, they have an extra oil. But those who have no oil, they have let go of the arm to sleep alone. Then they woke up, they say, the groom is coming. Let me just prepare myself and go there. It was too late. Amen? Good. We can walk together. There are people that say, I have been called by God to be a pastor. Along line the road, they find themselves selling cigarettes in the gas station. Why? What about the church? I got tired. Were you called? Were you really called? People stand up and say, I'm a pastor. Just for the title. Your actions does not follow. I'm a pastor. Where's your flocks? Nobody. You're empty. Because you call yourself, you are not called. Yes, at that moment you have the word, not oil. Amen? Okay, now, listen to this. I'm going to tell you. People, there is, you know, the Bible talks here about this, the merchant of the oil. Let me tell you this thing. The oil is not transferable. I'm going to explain this thing to you. It's very important. The oil, when he comes to ministry, is not transferable. Amen? I can anoint you. It means that I can rub you with my oil. You are going to perform at the moment of anointing, but you must become the oil yourself to continue doing it. It means that you have to become the olive. I'm going to say it again. People, they like swinging their head. Pastor, touch my head. Let's bless me. It is easy. I can lay the hand. I can pour that oil. I can anoint you. I can rub you with my oil. But for you to be performant, you must become the olive. Jesus Christ at Gethsemane did not ask Peter, come, let you be pressed so I can go to the cross. He didn't say, since the cross is going to be difficult, let yourself be pressed at Gethsemane. He had to be pressed. He had to become the olive. believe at Gethsemane. He had to see that blood coming out of his front head for him to be able to get it to the place. He didn't say, Peter, come and drink of the cup because it's going to be difficult. He had to drink that cup. If only that cup be taken away from me. Nevertheless, not by will, but thine be done. And God was quiet. He said, drink the cup. You want the glory? Drink the cup. Become that olive. The press have to start by yourself. Are we together? Good. I like that because we are talking the same language. So next time when I say, go in your private Gethsemane, don't say, Pastor, just lay your hand and pray. It's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. You must go there to see the glory of God. Amen? That is why when they came to a point where the bridegroom was coming, the light was the qualification. Few of them, when they had to trim the lamp. When you trim the lamp, you must shake the lamp so that the oil can go up and meet the wick. So that when you put the light in, the light is up. Amen? But if the oil is finished, your lamp goes down. It means that you have no more word in you. There's something in the Bible that says, it is quite impossible for somebody who has tasted the goodness of God, if he has fallen, for him to come back. It's not easy. This is it. Because the time he would take you to come back, the bridegroom will shut the door. If your daily prayer is not, Daddy, have mercy on my soul. Give me the strength to continue this fight. I cannot do it by myself. I need your presence. I need to be lifted up by the Holy Spirit. Lead me to the way everlasting. He means that you still have a lot to do. Amen? We welcome in the morning. Say it's another day. We continue our life. We make a long plan for 1 week. We have our diary. We write everything down. We write everything down. Check. You know, I heard something that broke my heart today. Very broke my heart. I woke up this morning with a terrible news. We were at the wedding back in February. And this man came at the wedding. When he came at the wedding, when he was looking, he wanted to speak with me. Amen. Because we did something back in Cameroon. When we're giving the gift to some orphans, the abandoned people. And there is this rich man in Cameroon that saw what we did, and he said, I want to meet with this pastor. So this man came here during the wedding. We went to the wedding of, I don't remember Papa Joseph here. It was his wedding. So this man came, he said, oh, Pastor, I want to speak to you. I met with the wife of Kaji, and she said she wants to meet with you because of this and this and this. I was like, wow. Just that element, she saw that she wanted to meet with you. He was in the house of somebody. Amen? Nice man. Well, this is a man who was giving us life lesson. You don't drink. You don't do this. You do your sport every day. He was playing tennis. He was doing everything, playing every day. This man was fitted. It's not like us with big stomach. The people telling us you have a big stomach every day. He was fitted. Do you understand? He had like 8 packs at his age, 66 years old. Amen. But this man went to bed on Wednesday, Monday night, didn't wake up. That was it. He was at the wedding with his wife. He was here. Before the shutdown, he was here. He went to bed and didn't wake up. And today I was talking with Pastor. I said, the thing that keeps us alive is our capacity to say, God, thank you for the breath of life. Some of what we do sport are once every 2 or 3 years. Huh? Sometimes not sports. That's why when you run 5 minutes, you put your hand on your knees and you start breathing like a pig. Why? Because you are sustained by the breath of the Lord. Are we together? He went to bed. He didn't wake up. That was it. Now they spoke about him in history. Hallelujah. Did he have the word? I don't know. I don't know. Give thanks to God every day. Your life is not planning. How am I going to be a millionaire tomorrow? How am I going to be this tomorrow? Give thanks to God. You want to bless your body. Say, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. If I give this, I'm going to die tomorrow. Don't give, you're going to die anyway. Don't give and die. Amen? And when you die that kind of death, the first thing they do, they eat your riches. That's the truth. They insult you. They insult you. That's true. That is true. A very nice man. I have a lot of respect for him. Very organized man. But life is not about being organized. It's about the fear of God. It's about the fear of God. You never been to church? No, you have been here though. I cannot say that. You have been in this church. He used to come to this church. He had been to this church many times. But have he given his life to Christ? I don't know. Amen? Oh, he's sitting there. They were even being a business partner in the time. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that life is not something that is easy. Give thanks to God for everything that you are going through. Amen? When these 10 virgins left, they were all sure that we are meeting the bridegroom, all of them, according to the scripture. Have you asked any person of them, say, where are you going? You're not going to see me anymore because I'm going to meet the bridegroom. I'm getting married. I'm gone. That was the language where they left the house. But along the road, something happened. The bridegroom delayed. Time is a factor. When people say, I'm a Christian, time will determine if you are one or not. It's not your word. We can all profess anything that we want. But time is the biggest teacher in this universe. Amen? Time is a teacher of all. Are we together? A time is not a matter of 2 or 3 or 5 years. Time can take 50 years to reveal the truth of God. Am I talking to somebody here? They have the assurance that we are going to meet the master. We have the assurance that they're not coming back in again. People who were selling the oil, they were there selling the oil. The wise took the oil. Those who said goodbye to the oil sellers, they went. All of them said goodbye, they went. But some of them went back to the oil sellers just to discover that it wasn't about the oil sellers, it was about the bridegroom. You must have been ready from the beginning. The question is, are we ready? So if the trump is sounding right now, people are there online watching, listening to us. If that trump is sounding right now, can you say for sure that I am ready to meet the master? Can you say for sure? Do you know for sure that you have that oil, that extra oil by your side? If not, a simple prayer can fill that oil into your thing. And you hold it and you continue with it. You just have to say, Lord, forgive me. I made you my Lord and Savior. Came into my life. As of today, my life belongs to you. Change me and lead me by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. This simple prayer where you accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and your Savior can just rekindle that lamp into you. And give you some oil to continue. And day after day, as you worship and acknowledge him, the oil is getting filled. Before you realize, you're going to be filled with that oil. The day will come when you are tired. Instead of sleeping alone, you'll be sleeping in his arm. Why? Because the oil kept you into his arm. Don't let go of his hand. Amen? The word, they said they were holding the lamb. They were holding the word, they were holding the Lord Jesus Christ. They were walking together. But when they became tired, the lamp of the foolish went off. It means that they let go of the hand of Jesus Christ to sleep alone. At that moment, it was too late. Are we together? The mystery of the Bible. The Holy Spirit alone can make a revelation like this one. You can read it for 20 years with your carnal mind. You see the same. The carnal mind are not the pagan. They are in the church. Remember that. Carnality is not the pagan. The carnal mind, they have the knowledge of the world. Even the devil have the lamp, but does not have the spirit. Even the devil. Remember, Jesus Christ just finished fasting. The devil come to him and say, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down there. For it is written, he will give charge to his angel to care for you so you will not dash your foot against the stone. Psalm 91 verse 11 and 12, that's what he was quoting. He quoted the Bible. And Jesus Christ quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 6 to him. It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is also written. It means that the Spirit brought light to identify that the person that is speaking to you, he have the lamp of God. There's no spirit in there. But let me rebuke him by the power of the Holy Spirit so that the Bible says he left me alone. Do you know when he said this thing to the world, which is Jesus Christ? He said he took Jesus Christ to the highest temple, a temple where the word is supposed to be displayed. He was about to take the power of the church, both the word out of the temple. That's why he took him to the church, to the temple. He said to the higher place of the temple, he set him there, he said, cast yourself down. The reason why he took to the temple, because he was saying, let me take this word out of the church so that the church can remain without the word. That's why he took him to the temple. And Jesus Christ said, it's also written. So the word will remain here and the word shall be spoken no matter what. Are we together? Any question? Yes.
Which also about something you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So back in college, right, I was the head of a discussion group. Mm-hmm. The topic of that day was about the relevance of Jesus Christ.
The what?
The relevance.
Mm-hmm. The relevance of Jesus Christ, yes.
Yeah, so I had one of these, my friend, he's an atheist to this day. So he was saying what you just said earlier, that Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit at 30 years old when he was getting baptized by mm-hmm. John the Baptist. And that he has seen every movie and even read the Bible, but the Bible does not mention where was Jesus between the age of 13 and 29. So where was Jesus between that time? He said that's the reason why Jesus never existed. It's a story that was made up. Where was Jesus between
the good thing was he was an atheist, right? He was an atheist. That's what the Bible said. The mystery of this world were reserved to those who love the Lord. That's why he was dumb. He didn't know anything. Because all what he heard was parable. The Bible says he was a carpenter. You don't become the carpenter at the age of 12. I say here that he was just a son of Joseph. During that time, he was just until the time came. The reason why they talk about 30 years old, because it was the normal age for you to become a teacher. But for you to become a teacher, it was a process. So at 30 years old, he had to go through the process to start the reign of the word. So when he came to the baptism, he was baptized by Jesus, by John the Baptist. Amen? Before he started ministry, you could not have started teaching if you were not 30 years old. It was not possible. Until then, he was just the son of Joseph. He was just a carpenter. He was just in the house with the brother who understood who he was. The mother knew about the mystery of Jesus Christ, because the birth of Jesus Christ was not a normal birth. The Holy Spirit was present. He said, it's going to come over you. You have a child. That is why Mary, finding herself pregnant, she said to the angel, how can this thing be, seeing that I know not a man? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, empower you, going to have a child. So when she finds herself pregnant with all the controversy, which the Bible called a blessing, you know, that's the thing that we have, the mystery of the Bible. You know, she's pregnant and she come in the society and say, I was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. You guys cannot understand that. I was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And then she goes to visit Elizabeth. and she arrived to Elizabeth, and when she's hugging Elizabeth, the children are having their own conversation because it was a different realm of understanding. The Holy Spirit was being manifested. At the age of 12, he went to the temple for the bar mitzvah, because at that age, when he was fully 12, you have to learn how to read in the synagogue, to read. He was there. They abandoned him. They went back. They discovered along the road. They came back 3 days to find him. They took him back. He said, "You should know where I am, in the house of my father." Do you understand that? So after that, he was not relevant anymore until the day of the baptism. He means that he was in existence. Your atheist friend cannot know it because he was limited in knowledge. It was not given to him to know the mystery of the Bible. Amen? Until he has the revelation that comes from you to know that this is what the Bible says about him, he cannot know. Amen? And Jesus Christ now, in this essence, in this part of the scripture, started a ministry at the age of 30, because it was normal for him to start. He goes into a temple and they gave him the scroll. The Bible says he found. He means he had to search to identify where the scripture was. In that scripture, it was written, "He has been given to me the power to do this and this and this and this." He wrote by the scripture and said, "Now the scripture has been revealed to your sight and your hearing." Because that's what he was. The Word with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He started walking into changing the perception of everybody. That you guys will use it. He said, he had been said that this is it, but now this is what I'm telling you. Because I am the Word. I am the reality. I am the veracity of what you guys have been talking about. This is how it's supposed to be. Amen? All right. Any more questions? Go ahead.
Concerning this scripture, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just wish to know, because the Bible presents a bridegroom and mm-hmm. there was no bride, and it uses the 10 virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was using us to show his word or the mystery of the word to us.
That is partially the qualification on what's going to get you into heaven. That is the qualification. The Bible says, remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? Mm-hmm. He was a Pharisee, you guys remember?
Yeah.
He came to you and said, "Master, you know, don't mind what we are doing during the day. Even because we are in rebellion every day, but we know that you are from God. Because nobody can do the thing that you are doing except you came from God." And Jesus Christ is talking to him and say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus went back into saying, "How can a man be born again when he's already grown? Is that I'm going to go back into the womb of my mother and come back again?" And Jesus Christ said, "Verily I say unto you, unless you are born of the water," which is the Word, "and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." That's what he said. You remember what I'm saying? He said, unless you are born of the water and the Holy Spirit. If you are the water alone, you're not entering. Are we together? But we know that he's not going to talk about it, because there is no Holy Spirit without the water. But there can be a water without the Holy Spirit. There is no Holy Spirit without the water. But there can be a water without the Holy Spirit. That's why somebody can say, "I am baptized." You can go in the water baptism, a dry sinner, and come out a wet sinner. You can't do that. Amen? He said that unless you are born of water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is not something that we should be playing with. It is an essence that we should be longing for. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We have the word. I can preach the word and say, if the Holy Spirit is not in me, I'm running my mouth, tomorrow I'm going to hell. Amen? Paul said, what a terrible thing for us to preach and not to be found worthy. What a terrible thing. that I can sit here and I'm preaching every day. Tomorrow, I can just, you say, Pastor, you're not coming? You see an angel before me saying, no, he's not coming. He's going to the, God forbid. Amen? It's a reality. That is why the Bible is taking a time to explain to us what you are just saying. That the lamp was available. But those who went with the bridegroom, they have the oil. If the lamp and the oil are not there together, you are not going anywhere. That is why when they came late, they still have the lamp. They didn't have the oil. Because the lamp was there. They bought the oil enough to put in the lamp. But they did not have an extra oil. When they came to the light, it was shut down. They say, Master, we're supposed to be. He said, I don't know you. Why? Because the vessel of the oil was not with them. Are we together? So let me tell you something. I'm going to say this thing. I'm going to repeat it again. Without the Holy Spirit and the Word, nobody is going to heaven. Therefore, we have to work for that. We have to make ourselves available to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Did I answer your question? Amen. Next. So you guys know all your Bible now. It's a good thing. At least you guys know the parable of the virgin. Amen? So we know that the lamp alone cannot guarantee the groom, but the lamp and the oil can guarantee the groom, right? That's a good thing to know. Remember that when they came back, he said, the Bible says in verse 13, here that, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we have to watch. How can we watch? I told you here, and I'm going to repeat it again. The only way you can watch is to make sure that you have both the Lamb and the Holy Spirit at any given moment. Amen? Don't do anything or act in any way where you can lose it. Amen? Do not slumber and sleep. Keep yourself awake. When I say keep yourself, I say keep yourself burning. And the only thing that can keep you burning, it is the oil. The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Word cannot keep you burning. It is the Word and the Holy Spirit. Believe me. The Word of God is saying it. Please, walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus. Walk in it in the name of Jesus. Don't let yourself be deceived by anything. Walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Lord, we thank you. Any more question? Yes. Him first, and then you after.
I would like to know, the Bible say when the bridegroom was coming, the noise for those people, the vision to know that the bridegroom is coming.
Right.
I want to know, is it mean that when... can the church be aware on the time, like it's about to come?
Yeah. The Bible said the trumpet will sound first. That was the trumpet sounding. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and wait for him. The trump of God will sound first. We, which are alive and remain, will be caught up. No, the death of Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up to be in heaven. It's called the rapture. Yes, we don't know the time. Do you know when the trump will sound? When the trump sound, it's too late. When the trump sound here, he was too late. They start looking for the lamp. It was too late. That's what the Bible said. I don't know you. Nobody knows when the trump will sound. Nobody. But the Bible says they heard a voice, a loud voice saying, The bridegroom is coming. Go out and wait for him. They stood up and they went out. The thing came. The door was open. They entered. The door was locked. And that was it. They came out and said, Lord, Lord, what about me? I was part of the virgin. He said, I don't know you. Those that I know, they're already in here. The rest, they are the people swimming to get into the ark of Noah. But the Lord has shut the ark with his hand. You can swim as you want. The water is marching on you. You're not getting anywhere. Even if you get by the ark, you can only hold it for a certain time. Because for 40 days, the water will smash on you on all kinds of... And you're going to just disappear and die. Are we together? Did I answer your question? Go ahead. Give him the microphone.
Yes, Pastor, I just want to understand the water and the spirit. See, you can have the spirit. Once you have the spirit, it comes with the water.
Yes.
But you can have the water without the spirit.
Yes.
The water represents the word of God.
Like yes. I just give an example. Even the devil spoke about the word. He knew it, but he didn't have the spirit.
Okay.
The spirit is holy. The devil cannot have the Holy Spirit. Everybody, if you are reading the word of God, it is there, it's available to you, it's the word. But what gives him power is the Holy Spirit. You can have the word, you can speak the word. You know, there are people that are intelligent that can preach.
That's true.
But they cannot demonstrate the power because they are empty.
You're right, Pastor. That reminds me of my teacher in school.
Don't call names.
He knew the Bible. No, in Cameroon.
Oh, okay.
He knew the Bible very well. That's true.
Amen. There are people, they can explain the Bible to you according to the knowledge. Amen. But they have no holes. You have some people in school teaching theology. Theology is philosophy. They can teach it with understanding, with mind or human wisdom. But theology with God, it is taught by the Holy Spirit. It's not taught by some kind of useless professor. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches theology. Are we together? I've seen people teaching, they don't know about the Holy Spirit. Good for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, go ahead.
It was verse five.
Yes.
Why the bridegroom was
delaying?
They all slumbered. It means all the person with oil with the and the person without oil.
Everybody slept.
And
I told you something. I said something. I'm going to say it again. They were all tired. Amen. You know, sometimes. Listen to this. When sometimes you are tired, you are holding somebody's hand, and in your tiredness, you let the hand and you drop. But these people, when they were tired, they turned wise because they had the oil. They were sleeping in the arm of Jesus. But they stand foolish because the oil was finished. It means that they let go of the arm of Jesus. The oil was finished. They have no lamp. The lamp was gone. When the lamp is gone, the word is gone. So you are not holding the hand of Jesus anymore. You are alone. Desperate, lost, powerless. Because in your sleep, everything can happen to you. If God does not watch over you, everything can happen to you. If God, the Holy Spirit is not there to say, nothing can happen to my child. When you are sleeping, you are vulnerable. But the Holy Spirit is there to say, I'm setting a standard, nothing will happen to him. Amen? That's why we recommend our night to the Lord. Amen? When we recommend through the word and the Holy Spirit, the Lord in fullness breathe on us an angel that will come and watch over us and say nothing is happening. Are we together? And it is like that. You wake up in the morning, the first thing is not to go and get something in your fridge and start drinking. Thank you, Lord, because I'm alive. That's the first thing to do. You thank him for what he did. You wake up and say, oh, Lord, I worship your holy name. I thank you because I can breathe again. I thank you because of this. Before you go to the fridge and get anything. Amen? You don't just go and you jump in the thing. Say, I'm late. You go into the bathroom. You take a shower, dress. You don't say goodbye to your family. You just rush to work. No. No. Thank God for the breath of life. Thank God for the breath of life. Thank God. Breathe that breath and say, Lord, I thank you. Before you go to bed, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Any more question? Yes, mommy. Take the microphone.
Je ne sais pas si j'ai bien compris l'homme de Dieu. À la fin, vous avez parlé de la théologie.
Mm-hmm.
Vous avez dit que c'est conduit par le Saint-Esprit.
J'ai dit que la théologie, le véritable enseignement de la théologie se fait par le Saint-Esprit, c'est pas par des hommes, parce que les hommes souvent qui enseignent, la théologie c'est la philosophie, okay. Et ceux qui enseignent souvent n'ont aucune connaissance du Saint-Esprit.
J'ai compris maintenant.
Amen. She was saying that she didn't understand very well about theology. And I said, you can have professor of theology, they have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit, they don't teach wisdom, because theology is philosophy. Amen? But the true theology, which is the study of God, is made through the Holy Spirit. You get to know God. You don't know the sign that explains God. Nobody can explain God. Amen? Because we don't have the intellect to explain God. We cannot explain God. And first of all, for us to explain, we must know and understand him. See, we cannot understand God, therefore we cannot explain him. Hallelujah. And the only thing that keeps us to have this knowledge of who God is when we start climbing the mountain, which is God. And we start knowing him, becoming acquainted to him, having a relationship with him. And progressively, as we grow in the knowledge of him, we have a fulfillment. But nobody can explain God. That's why I don't believe in theology. Amen. I believe in the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I worship you for the teaching. And I worship you for what you have released unto us today by the Holy Spirit, oh Father. We pray that you will continue to feed us. We pray that the knowledge of who you are will grow in us, oh Father, Lord. We pray for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. We pray, oh Lord, as we are knowing you, we will grow more.